It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan, and yes, I am with you for the next hour or so. Now, we want to talk about social media and the many aspects of social media today, because it is in the news, obviously, in relation to what Mark Zuckerberg said, and I'll come back to that in a second. But before I do, can I mention as well that John McGurk from Grip Media mentioned a story during the week about Stephen Donnelly, who I wouldn't be a huge fan of. Actually, I'm not a fan of at all. I think he's probably the worst health minister we've ever had. The very fact that we have a hospital sitting there that probably won't be ready till my grandkids are born. Yeah, children's hospital that has quadrupled in price shows his incompetence. But anyway, and we still have waiting lists, people waiting 18 hours on trolleys in the hospitals. So he's not a good health minister. But look, I don't agree with him necessarily ever. But I do agree with him on one thing. We need to do something about 16-year-olds or children under the age of 16 on social media. Because I do believe that as much as I hate censorship in any form whatsoever, I do believe in unrestricted free speech. I do believe we have an obligation to protect children. That only goes for those over the age of 18 who have a responsibility for the consequences of free speech. When it comes to children, of course, and what they see and what they're exposed to, I think we have a duty as parents and as adults and as a state to make sure that they don't see stuff that's inappropriate for their age that will damage them for life. Because let's be clear, it can damage them for life. And it has damaged a generation for life. But he has suggested that he needs to get onto the tech companies and sort them out. In other words, it's their responsibility to make sure that 16-year-olds aren't, you know, on social media, on TikTok or Instagram or whatever it happens to be. But in saying that, I don't necessarily agree with him on this point. I do agree that we need to do something about under-16s online. I remember going back a while ago, about 7 years ago, I can't remember who it was, a Fine Gael minister suggested that we ban the sale of smartphones to people under the age of 16, and people kind of laughed and mocked when he said it. How ridiculous is that? I actually thought it was quite a good idea, hence I interviewed him on the radio at the time, because I thought it was such a good idea. But nobody listened. But now it's too late, the horse is bolted, the genie's out of the bottle, kids have been destroyed, a generation is sitting down staring into a phone and getting all their information from a mobile phone. Some of it's true, some of it's false. But here you go. At least when I went to the library, in my day, my Google was the library, because I'm 60 obviously, and we didn't have Google. So you went down to the library and you went into your section, which was, you know, 12 to 16 year olds. If you kind of ventured into the over 18 section across the way, the librarian would be over and she would hush you back again and say, get back over there. Now, you're too young to be over here looking at dirty pictures. So we couldn't even get to see a set of boobs. It was terrible. But nowadays, of course, we have no understanding of what children are actually watching. From 12 years of age, they can watch porn and they have availability to the biggest porn websites on their smartphones. So whose responsibility is it? Stephen Donnelly seems to think it's the tech company's responsibility to verify their age. And look, they can do it if they want to. Revolut can do it. Other companies can do it. They just couldn't be bothered. But really, is it their responsibility? After all, they are just the vehicle. They are just the utility. They are, well, they claim they're a utility, not a publisher. That's what they are, isn't it? So whose real responsibility? Is it theirs? Is it the government's responsibility to make a law and legislate for it? Or is it our responsibility as parents not to be sitting down, you know, eating our dinner or watching the telly while your kid is off somewhere else in another part of the house, staring into a phone at 12 years of age or 13 years of age, and you've no idea what they're actually looking at? Whose responsibility is that? So is it the government's responsibility, the tech companies, or the parents? You let me know. The number, as usual, if you want to contact us and get online, is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, before I do that, speaking of social media and the power of social media, Mark Zuckerberg, of course, has come out to say that, yes, he admits and expressed regret that his company folded to the pressure from Joe Biden's administration during the pandemic. Yes, remember the pandemic, COVID-19, to censor certain COVID-19 content, and has said that we're ready to push back if something like this happens again. Bit late, Mark, isn't it? Now, I said this during COVID-19 on the radio at the time, and I got a written complaint to the Broadcasting Authority from a very well-known lefty in this country who said I was nothing but a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Well, there you go. Turns out I was actually right. I was even named in the Kinzen report, Mark Little's Kinzen report, who was, by the way, the former CEO of Twitter at the time as well, and then formed his own company called Kinzen, who was paid thousands per month by Stephen Donnelly to do a report up about people he didn't like. Not Mark Little, obviously Stephen Donnelly. So I was on the radio giving out about lockdowns, but I was classed as an anti-establishment, anti-lockdown broadcaster by Kinzen. Wow, there you go. Anyway, looks like I was right after all, because lots of published papers have come out since to say that lockdowns are a complete waste of time. Now, getting to what Mark Zuckerberg said, I want to go, there's a great story, by the way, to the Journal today, or not the Journal. I hate the Journal. Why did I say that? In Grip Media today. If you want to go to Grip Media, Jason Osborne has written a great piece today in relation to what Mark Zuckerberg said. And he joins me on the line. Jason Osborne, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Man. Thank you. Sorry for insulting you there, by the way, when I mentioned the Journal. Anyway, from Grip Media. I mean, this is, I suppose, a bit of a revelation, but probably something we kind of knew already.
Yeah, so, well, as you said, Mark Zuckerberg came out yesterday and vindicated you in that he had sent a letter to the House Judiciary Committee, which is currently doing a bit of an investigation into online content moderation, which is obviously the talk of the town at the moment. And in that letter, he said, exactly as you said, that his company had essentially folded to pressure from the administration during the pandemic to censor certain COVID-19 content. Now, we don't know what that content is exactly, but he did say...
Do me a favour, Jason, just I'm going to interrupt there for a second. Sorry, your phone line is just a little bit dodgy, so we're going to give you a quick call back, all right? Because I don't want to miss anything that you're saying, all right? So we're just going to hang up on you and we're going to give you a quick call back, all right? We'll come back to Jason Osborne in a second from Grip Media, journalist with Grip Media, about Mark Zuckerberg. But yes, as he said there, I was vindicated, and many people were vindicated. But the question must be asked, and I'll ask Jason this in a second, if he's admitting to this, what is he not admitting to? And what are the other social media companies not admitting to? And why did X or J or Elon Musk, for example, not have a European X-Files? After all, the headquarters of Twitter, or now known as X, are actually in Dublin. So, realistically, why didn't they have an X-Files? Let me get back to Jason. Hopefully the line is a little bit better. Jason, is that any better?
It is. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, that's so much better. That's so much better. So you were just crackling or something like that. I was just breaking up badly. Okay, sorry. So yes, I was vindicated, of course, because he came out and made this admission. But it was kind of something we knew already, wasn't it?
Exactly. So yeah, as we said, Zuckerberg admitted that Mark Zuckerberg, that is the Meta CEO, admitted that the Biden administration has essentially forced them to censor certain COVID-19 content. And we don't know exactly what that content was, but he did say it was including humor and satire. So presumably a lot of the memes were sharing at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he went, he was saying that it came from senior administration staffers and from the White House. And he expressed regret about this. He did say the government pressure applied to Meta was wrong. But he said that, Meta regrets they weren't more outspoken about it. And he said they made some choices that, with the benefit of hindsight and new information, they wouldn't make today. So that sort of led into him saying then that they're ready to push back if something like this happens again today.
But I mean, do we trust that when he says he wouldn't let this happen today and, he regrets it and all that kind of stuff, do we trust him? Because, maybe he's just worried that Trump is going to get into office next year and boot him out altogether. But do we trust him? Because they didn't tell the truth initially about it. And all of a sudden now they're coming out and admitting that they were pressured by to take stuff off Facebook and censor American people, that Facebook censored Americans and Facebook throttled the Hunter Biden laptop story as well, which was a big win for free speech. So, I mean, realistically, do we trust him going forward if he's now admitted something that he kind of denied for the last 4 years?
Yeah, it's a confusing one, particularly when it comes to these guys who are at the top of these, multi-billion dollar tech companies. But it does seem, Mark Zuckerberg, he made a small concession back in 2022 to the effect of the information that was contained in the letter. I'm not sure if you remember, he was on the Joe Rogan podcast back in 2022. And he spoke about how, and this was something that he mentioned in his letter yesterday, a story, the Hunter Biden laptop story that the New York Post broke, that was suppressed at the time when it came out following a warning from the FBI that it was Russian disinformation. Mm-hmm. Now, after an investigation, that story was, completely vindicated and it was found that it wasn't Russian disinformation. But, he admitted that back in 2022 on a platform as informal as the Joe Rogan podcast. So I can't help but think that, he personally has had some doubts about this. And now that maybe the tide is turning a little bit with, Elon Musk's acquisition of X, that he he might feel like it's time to come out swinging for the other side. But ultimately, you know, who knows? It's very hard to know exactly what someone like Mark Zuckerberg is thinking.
See, Facebook, I mean, I know he owns obviously WhatsApp as well, but Facebook, you know, has certainly lost its traction over the last 4 or 5 years in particular. You know, I don't hear too many people on Facebook. I haven't posted on Facebook, apart from for the show. I haven't posted on Facebook probably in about 3 or 4 years. You know, where I used to use Facebook, I use Twitter nowadays. So really, they're probably under financial pressure to get Facebook up and moving, because there was a time during COVID-19 that if you even suggested that it may have leaked from a lab in Wuhan, which we now know is plausible and most likely true, you were banned from Facebook. They just cancelled your account immediately. So they really went gung-ho on people. Even if you suggested that if there was a doctor that vaccines weren't a great idea or whatever, you know, whether no matter what your opinion happened to be, the whole idea of free speech, you know, they were just banning people left, right and centre.
And there were, I remember as well very well, there were notifications come up at the time when you logged in advising you to get your COVID-19 information from trusted sources and things like this. So you're exactly right. I mean, I think Facebook usage has fairly plummeted, particularly amongst young people. Facebook is sort of joked about, it's memed about as a bit of a dead end. Nothing goes on there. As you say, everyone now is on TikTok, X, Instagram, all of these different places. So I'm wondering whether Zuckerberg's apparent turn is a bit of an effort to buy into that, I suppose, Wild West energy that Elon Musk brings to X, which seems to be serving X very well. I mean, I know it's brought it a lot of scrutiny from the EU and the US, but it's very popular among ordinary people. And I do wonder whether Zuckerberg sort of sees himself taking a bit of a turn in that direction. But it's much too early to tell, obviously, and we have plenty of reason to be skeptical, as you say.
Yeah, I think Facebook has turned into Bebo at this stage. It's like the Bebo of the social media. I'm sure you remember Bebo, Jason. That's a long, long time ago now. What was the other one? MySpace. Do you remember MySpace?
I was probably about 7 at the time, so I wasn't on them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in relation to social media and their role now currently at the moment, and I'm just going to ask you this off the cuff because I know it's not related to your story as such, but Stephen Donnelly is now suggesting the tech companies have a role to play in keeping under 16-year-olds off the internet or off social media. I mean, I don't think there's going to be an appetite for that, because clearly Mark Zuckerberg is struggling. He doesn't have the 2 billion customers he used to have, or if he does, they're not active anymore. So the last thing they're going to want to do is limit their audience, isn't it?
Very much so. And, I have some limited sympathy for tech companies in this, you know, including ones like Facebook that have previously censored content. Because what you see in tech companies and states at the moment is they're trying to grapple with something that essentially hasn't existed before, which is, social media being this absolutely massive new town square, essentially, where everyone can say their piece. But I agree with you. I think there won't be much of an appetite among tech companies to be limiting this, because, as you say, they're essentially limiting their own consumers then. It's much more in states' interest, I suppose, to be limiting who's able to say what on these things. And I mean, we're seeing that all over the place at the moment, between Mark Zuckerberg's admissions in that letter just yesterday, but also the arrest of Telegram CEO Pavel Durov just there over the weekend. So clearly you've got a bit of a clash between tech companies, it seems, and states on this. Somewhat, because as I said, it's much more in states' interest to be able to limit who's on these things and what they can say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see, you know, from Facebook's profits, for example, you know, they were at their peak more or less around 2018. Then they dropped down to 2018. They went up during COVID, of course, 2021, 29, 39 billion. But back down again in 2022, I suppose, when people went back to work and weren't quite as bored as they used to be, back down to 23 billion. So they dropped substantially, 30% in profits, you know, in the space of 1 year after COVID-19. And I don't have the more recent figures, but I'm pretty sure they will reflect the fact that they've probably gone down even more. So now, I don't know if the acquisition of WhatsApp maybe has made a difference, but I don't know how they make money out of WhatsApp, by the way. I'm unsure how they make money out of WhatsApp, because I've never seen an ad on WhatsApp. So I'm not too sure how they actually make money. Do they make money on WhatsApp? They couldn't. How do they make money?
To be honest, in the case of WhatsApp, I'm not actually sure. Obviously, advertising is the enormous income source, I suppose, for most social media sites. And I mean, that was a lot of the trouble we were seeing with X, with Elon Musk was noticing, obviously, that advertisers were pulling out in light of the sort of direction that he was wanting to take with the platform. And as a result, he was trying to figure out his options for drawing them back. But yeah, when it comes to WhatsApp, I honestly can't tell you
how they make money, because there's no ads. Yeah, so yeah. I don't know how they actually make any money. Maybe it's just some sort of thing he's doing for society. Although I can't see any tech company doing it, running a charity. But I mean, look, it's an unbelievable story, and I think there's going to be more to come out. By the way, this also surprises me, and I know your colleague Ben Scallon asked Elon Musk when he interviewed him going back last year, the latter part of last year. He asked him why they wouldn't do an X Files or a Twitter Files, which they did with Michael Schellenberg, for example, the author Michael Schellenberg, in the US, and pointed out exactly, of course, what Mark Zuckerberg was saying about the interference by the Biden administration and the American administration from Twitter. I don't know why they're not going to do it in Ireland, because I think if they announced they were going to do it in Ireland, I think there'd be a few politicians out there very unpleased.
Oh, I suspect that'd be very much the case. I mean, we've all seen over the past couple of years a lot of, you know, reasonable, prominent conservative voices who suspected they were being shadow banned or being sort of deplatformed subtly. But I think the trouble for Elon Musk is obviously he's got a. Well, I wouldn't say that he's bitten off more than he can chew, but he's certainly got a huge fight on his plate because, as we say, nearly every state is coming after him in terms of how he's decided to run X. I mean, he's having enormous difficulty in Brazil at the moment, so I wonder whether in Ireland it would just be a bridge too far at the moment. Who knows what he'll do in the future?
Yeah. Do you see the likes of Twitter? I kind of predicted last January that maybe X, whatever you want to call it, will be gone in the European Union before mid-2025. Can you see that happening? Can you see them surviving this? Because the EU are quite powerful with their digital treaty.
I can't see it happening before 2025. There's certainly an appetite for it. I mean, we saw just 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Thierry Breton, who's sort of a regulation chair in the EU, he sent his letter to Elon Musk ahead of Elon Musk. Exactly.
Very unprecedented, wasn't it? Yeah, it was quite unprecedented.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, Elon Musk was at pains to emphasize the fact that it was just going to be a conversation between himself and Trump, and then in comes Mr. Breton with the EU saying, you know, you have a responsibility
to fact-check everything.
Exactly.
Imagine during a conversation you had to fact-check everything that's being said as you're saying it. I mean, that's just... I mean, I wonder, would Thierry be sending those letters to everybody in media? I don't think so. He seems to have a personal issue with Elon Musk, doesn't he?
I do find it very hard to believe that he would. And I mean, I find it the same with the Telegram situation at the moment, which, you know, they're obviously going after Pavel Durov in relation to, it seems, sort of his platform being used for criminality. But we've got, as I mentioned in an article yesterday about Pavel Durov, there's plenty of examples of, say, Facebook and Instagram being used for criminal purposes. I mean, at the end of 2023, you had the New Mexico Attorney General essentially describing Instagram as a breeding ground for child predators. And yet you don't see any arrest warrants being put out for Mark Zuckerberg as soon as he steps foot in Europe. So there certainly does seem to be a, I mean, the phrase of the day is two-tier, but there certainly seems to be a two-tier application of a censorship interest, I suppose, or interest in justice here.
Yeah, okay. And then there's always this argument as to whether they're a utility company or a publishing company. They insist they're a utility company and not a publishing company, because publishing, of course, makes them more responsible for what's on their platforms. Do you think they're a utility company or a publishing company? They're a bit of, well, if they're publishing ads, they have to be a publishing company, don't they?
This is kind of the problem that I mentioned back at the beginning, which is that, you know, in social media, tech companies, you know, which, funny enough, obviously started these platforms, but they don't really know what they're dealing with, nor do governments. I mean, there's an argument to me that it's a bit of both, because they really have become, in a digital age, the new public square. But at the same time, as you say, people are, you know, companies are publishing advertisements on them. You know, even since Elon Musk took over, people are publishing articles on them and things in a way that they would have done in a traditional publication once upon a time. And they're increasingly doing on X and different platforms. So it really fits into this middle space that, you know, I certainly don't know what to do with. And apparently that's, you know, what states and tech companies are grappling with at the moment. So I think in the long term, they're going to have to come down, whether they describe it as something new, and figure out how to how to proceed accordingly. Because certainly at the moment there's a lot of friction between states and tech companies, and I don't see that being able to continue.
Well, look, thank you very much indeed. If people want to read more about that particular story, by the way, you'll find it today on Gripped Media. If you go to Gripped Media, you'll find Jason Osborne's story. Jason, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on to talk to us today. Jason Osborne, journalist at Gripped Media. Thank you. Now, let me go to one or two of your calls in relation to children. And the question I'm simply asking when we talk about the health minister's suggestion that under 16 shouldn't be on social media, I'm not going to ask that question because I think most logical people would tell you it's the right thing to do. I don't know why we didn't think of it years ago. Now I think the horse is bolted and genie's out of the bottle. So if going forward we want to do that and restrict social media for those over the age of 16, whose responsibility is that? Is it the government's to make a law? Is it the tech companies to, you know, make sure that we, you know, vouch for their age or they have some sort of verification system, i.e. passport or whatever it happens to be, like they do with, you know, Revolut and other banking systems? Or is it our responsibility as parents? And let's stop blaming everybody else. Let me know what you think. The number is 085-100-2255. Edward, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are you?
Good.
Pretty good. I was listening to you there on the mobile phones. I think the students, there should be a ban at schools, secondary schools.
Yeah, without a doubt.
If they're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. However, I don't think they should be even allowed to bring the phones to school with them.
Well, I'll put this to you. However, if the teacher is doing something wrong, there needs to be a reporting system. Mm. You know, should all school rooms have cameras in them? They have cameras in creches, in the good creches.
Mm-hmm.
So if a teacher is doing something wrong, it's being recorded.
Yeah.
When I was primary back in the 60s, I was caned 32 times for smiling.
Yeah, but that wouldn't happen now, Edward. That wouldn't happen now.
How do you know?
Children are not being caned anymore or slapped. Sure, if a child was slapped in a school in Ireland in the year 2024, the teacher would find themselves arrested the next day and in jail.
What I'm saying is, if they can have cameras and creches, why not have them in the school room?
Well, I wouldn't primarily object to that. But so you're saying that if they don't have the phones, well, nobody can take videos or proof of anything that's kind of wrongdoings, is what you're saying.
And then I say, if they have a class where they actually use the phone as a tool for education, where people can research nearly anything on the phone, they can do maths, they can do...
Yeah, I don't object to children using phones or using technology, but the problem is social media. So, you know, should children be allowed on TikTok and, you know, Instagram and Facebook and X? And do you believe children should be on it under the age of 16?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so whose job is it to keep them off it? Because they're all on it. So whose job is that?
Yeah, well, I think it's the parents' fault if they let them just go wild on it.
Hmm.
I mean, TikTok want to make money. They just want people looking on their...
Yeah, because what's happening is it's dumbing them down. Because this generation, which is Generation Alpha, are allegedly, according to the research, the dumbest generation.
Yeah, that's true. But there are some good kids out there.
No, there is. But generally speaking, they're the dumbest generation. And that's because they have information at their fingertips and they don't need to retain information anymore.
But in the schools, should there not be a carrot and a stick approach where there's a reward of having a day of bringing in their phones? And
why would you want to have a reward? I mean, we weren't allowed that kind of stuff. Well, mind you, we didn't have it. But even I remember when calculators came out first in the kind of 1970s. We weren't allowed to bring calculators to school. Now, they are now, obviously, but at the time we weren't allowed. And there was no reward system for leaving your calculator at home. You just told, I'm sorry, you can't bring your phone to school. And if you do, you put it in your locker. That's it. It's not allowed. That's what they do in a lot of schools in the States now. They put their phones into a little zip bag and in their locker. They're not allowed to use it. I don't see a problem with that. Okay, but that's one issue. And that was talked about during the week with the Minister for Education. And I completely agree with it. They shouldn't be allowed to bring them to school. End of story. If your parents need to contact the children, they can contact the school secretary. It's easy. That's what they had to do in our day. But social media, per se, you believe it's the parents' responsibility. Do the tech companies have any responsibility at all, Edward?
Well, I think the mobile phone now is the same as when the phone came out first for us. People can use a phone to do anything.
Mm.
You know, they could ring and they could arrange to rob a bank. They could do this. Were the tech companies responsible for if somebody robbed the bank?
No, they're not. I don't believe so.
No, So people are responsible for themselves, and the tech companies shouldn't be held responsible.
Okay, all right. Thank you for that, Edward. Let me go to Carl. Carl, hi, how are you?
How's things, Niall?
Good. Carl, so whose responsibility, Carl, is it to keep the kids off social media? Because I think we all agree social media for kids under 16 is not a good thing.
No, it's not, no. Well, first of all, I think this is a bit smoke and mirrors from the government. They're going to try and big this up at some massive piece of legislation and give themselves a massive pat on the back. But I do also think it's important anyway, you know. Mm. I think the government that was trying to kind of big themselves up here that they're doing something.
Yeah, while the real issues in the country just go ignored, yeah. Yeah.
Of course. But, with social media, we all know, even as an adult, you can be so easily influenced online. I am sometimes when you see things like holidays or clothes or even food, you know what I mean? But they're kind of small little things, you know what I mean? But there's also a lot of negative things on social media. You have porn, violence. I even seen a video of a guy in Birmingham getting stabbed in the neck.
Oh, I saw that video. That's a horrendous video. I was only telling my friend about it.
Honestly, I was crying. Like, it's fucking horrendous. And then you've, you know, all this trans pronoun bollocks as
but
well.
But did you see, going back to that video. So the guy, now four people have been arrested for that particular thing in Birmingham, right? So for people who haven't seen it, the guy's walking down the road with a kid in a buggy and a dog, tied to the buggy. His dog is on a lead. And these lads come over, start giving him guff, and he turns around, says something to one of them, and your man pulls out a knife and sticks it in his neck, and he starts to bleed out on the street. And while he's bleeding out on the ground on the street, they're showing their faces on the camera and laughing. You know, what is wrong with people?
Yeah, he's on the ground and they're laughing, saying like it could have been far worse. Like, and see, this is the thing on social media. You see all these instances, and it's nearly getting normalised, which is a massive, massive problem. You know, so like kids have access to that, and like that's where you're seeing school fights, and you're seeing people just standing around watching it. It's like it's become the norm now. You don't get in and break it up, and that's wrong. No, get out, have a laugh, record it, and kind of urge it. You know what I mean?
Put it up on TikTok. So
it's completely wrong. Like, look, I'll tell you a story. My niece was on, I think it was about 3 years ago, right? She would have been about 11. She was having a sleepover with our cousin and our friend, and I seen her Snapchat the next morning. They were on this chat site called Omegle. And they were all very young, and the guy they were chatting to, he must have been in his 20s or more. Now, I only seen a short clip, but the guy had a beard, so I was absolutely furious. Like, they were clearly little girls. So I screen recorded it, sent it on to my sister-in-law, and I just said, look, I just want to bring this to your attention. Obviously, like, they'd be strict enough, like, they wouldn't be too bad. And they sat her down, had a conversation, and was like, look, you didn't do anything wrong, but that person shouldn't be doing that. And they explained it. And I do think it falls with parents, you know.
By the way, Omegle has been shut down by the FBI. Probably for that very reason, by the way. Can I just point out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, you know, you can't be having that. But like that, my brother and his wife, like, sat her down and explained. And I do think, you know, the kids are getting a little bit more mature than maybe what I would have been when I was 11, 12, 13. So I do think you sit down and have these conversations. If you're going to give them a smartphone, right, you have to maybe put some restrictions on it. And, like, you know, you should be getting them in from a young age into sports and activities and social clubs anyway to get them away.
What restrictions you put on them, you're not sitting looking at them. See, this is the problem with a smartphone or an iPad or whatever it is, right? Or a tablet or whatever description, or even a laptop. You know, they're sitting in their room, or they're, you know, in another part of the house, and you're in another part of the house. You've no idea what they're looking at. They don't even know what they're looking at, because they have no idea what's going to pop up on the screen next when it comes to, say, TikTok or Instagram or whatever. And a lot of the stuff that's on these sites is completely inappropriate for anybody under the age of 16. I mean, video you just mentioned there a second ago, like, that's disturbing to watch. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's absolutely horrific. Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, I do think that's very important in regards to those sites. I do think a smartphone up until 16, I do think parents should not be giving their kids smartphones. I do think that's a good idea. No phones going into schools.
Do the tech companies have a responsibility? Stephen Donnelly, you know, I don't agree with the man. I agree with the sentiment here, but he's going after the tech companies. I don't believe it's their responsibility. There are kids.
Of course, it falls with the parents. Look, you know, they hate the tech companies now because they're losing the narrative, and they're going to try and pile on, oh no, we actually only want to go after them because of this reason and that reason. We all know they want to shut people up. You know what I mean? They don't give a shit really about that.
I mean, like, if your kid went out and managed to get someone to buy him, you know, a Budweiser and an off license, you know, would you blame the brewery? No, you wouldn't blame the brewery. You blame the shop owner, who's the middleman. You're the middleman. You're the parent. You're the one letting them do it.
they're trying to pile on the tech companies, and they're going to use every resource necessary to try and shut them down. So they're going to try and use this to shut them down. You know, it is a good piece of legislation, but I do feel it's smoke and mirrors. They have another agenda.
Mm. Stay there a second, Carl. Let me go to Bernie. Yeah. Bernie, hi. How are you, Bernie?
I'm good. Good.
Okay, so Bernie, I suppose from your grandchildren's point of view more so than your children's point of view, because it wasn't around when you were children, if you know what I mean. You know, yeah. I mean, whose job is it? The governments, the tech companies, the parents, or all three?
So I would go with it's definitely not the government. I wouldn't trust them with a plastic bag. I would only trust parents, and I would ask the tech companies. If parents work with the tech companies, approach them and say, look, you're the guys putting this stuff. You need to regulate it more for us parents and grandparents moving forward.
But why? Well, that's like going to a cinema and saying, you know, I don't like some of the movies, the over 18s ones you're putting up there. Can you regulate them and not show them? And the cinema turned around to you. Well, and the cinema says, well, then just don't let your kids come.
Look, Niall, children, it's so sad. You don't hear laughing children anywhere anymore. It's very rare you'll hear a child laughing now. They're all kept quiet with these screens. Mm. Like, what is wrong with being a child? What is wrong with having a normal childhood? You don't need to know about this stuff. We didn't know about it and we were fine. Why do you need to know it? Well, we're the parents. I'm asking us as parents, why do our kids have to have a phone or a laptop stuck in front of them? Surely to God, we're responsible. We should be the ones regulating it ourselves. You don't need Stephen Donnelly or them idiots telling you what you can and cannot do with your children. You're entitled to look after your children yourself. You're responsible. And if there's an issue, I would be ringing. If I had any issues with any of those platforms, first of all, I don't even know what the platforms are. But if I even had an idea, I'd be onto them directly saying, well, what do I do?
Good luck with that.
Family?
Yeah, but good luck with that. There's no way of ringing to it. But there's no one to ring.
But this is wrong. This is where it's all. We as parents have to stand up and say, we're going to stop using it. We're the parents. We're not allowing this into our houses. End of story.
But that's your job. You know what I mean? This is where I struggle with people blaming the tech companies. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're profiteering off the back of the misery of others, right? And that's fine. Yeah. But that's what they do. That's what tech companies do. That's what these tech giants do. They make billions out of it every single year in advertising. But they're not forcing your kids to look at it. You're the parent.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, the ads on the television, the whole lot has gone out the window. Surely to God, as a society, we can pull it back ourselves. We have to stand up.
Well, see, the problem is, so you have a little daughter and she's 14 years of age, right? And she's on Instagram and she's on TikTok and she's on whatever else she's on, right? And you say, okay, I'm gonna take a stand here as a parent. Give me that smartphone. I want you to delete all those apps off your phone. I don't want you on social media. Boo hoo hoo, she's going to cry her eyes out because all her mates are on it and she's going to be missing out. That's the problem. So it needs every parent to do it, but every parent won't do it. That's the problem.
But I mean, why do they think it's right? As a parent, do you agree with Instagram? Do you agree with all the stuff that's out there on TikTok
No.
and all them?
I wouldn't. I personally wouldn't let them on it at that age, at 13 or 14 years of age.
So why are you so responsible? Why are you saying that other parents wouldn't be that kids?
Because they just don't. Because parents find it convenient. A lot of parents find it convenient, you know, to have their kids sitting on it all day, and then they don't have to bother them or bring them anywhere or do anything with them because they find it convenient. And the kids are just hooked. It's like a drug.
Yeah. Okay. So it's us to unhook them. We have to unhook them. So what do we do? Build up more community stuff. Get walk around the village or wherever you live in the parish and say, what are we going to do about this as a group? As a collective group, we should say we don't want any of our children. And all the parents agree. And
do I sound like an old crank now by saying that? You know what I mean?
You sound so old now, Niall. Oh, my God.
I mean, there is an argument that the tech companies should be verifying their ages, which they don't, by the way, should be verifying their ages. But and they can do it if they want to. But why should they? Because realistically, you know, it's a free market. So, you know, they have no obligation to. They're not porn sites. Like if it was a porn site, I'd say absolutely you have to verify age, you know, but it's not a porn site. But there is porn on these social medias.
Well, I mean, it's scary how quick you can get into a porn thing. And it's awful. Like, why are we allowing all this rubbish into our lives? Like, why are we the parents and grandparents, why can't we stop it?
You see, you're speaking to the converted here, but I'm just telling you, they just won't. I've been saying this since I'm blue in the face for the last 5 years, but parents just won't do it because Mary has one in the classroom and Johnny has one in the classroom, and if you get your daughter and she hasn't got one and you take her smartphone off her, she feels isolated and not part of the group anymore. I would ban the whole lot for children under 16. WhatsApp, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, the whole lot of them. They're unnecessary. Kids don't need it. Texting and phone calls. That's as much as I would allow it.
But as well as that, Niall, in Japan, you know, there's some of the schools there, the kids come in with their parents, with their very strict instructions of parents. But the schools there have put a thing in place where they all have a little place for their shoes outside the classroom doors, and they put all their shoes with their phones in there. They're not allowed to look at them or check them until the school is finished. Mm. What's wrong with that?
I'm trying to remember. I seen a statistic the other night about Western kids versus Chinese kids and our Asian children. I think it was Chinese specifically. And I think it was something like 25% of Western children had experienced depression, suicidal thoughts and self-harm, right? Or one or the other. And it was only 3 in every 100 Chinese. So what I'm saying to you is the way they're being brought up is different. They're not glued to their phones. They're not obsessed with social media because they're very limited in what they're allowed view over there, obviously, because it's a communist state. So they're very, you know what I mean? So they're very limited in what they can see.
Can we not reinvent the wheel for our own children and take some of the good things and some of the bad things, you know, some of the good things from other societies and other areas where they have it working and their children are okay? This is affecting our children now. Our children are all going around talking about depression and, you know, I have to do a video for TikTok and to load up this, and I don't even know what they're talking about. And it's so sad.
Well, it is. When I was that age, I didn't even know what depression or suicide was when I was 13 or 14. Stay there for a second, Bernie. Let me go to Sean. Okay. Sean, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, I'm going to be such a hypocrite on this one.
Oh, go ahead.
Parents have a constitutional right to be the primary educators of their children. I don't see how there's a difference between what they get on and offline. If they see something online, if they see a drag show online, you can take them to a drag show. If they see a far right comment online, you can take them to a far right march. If they see something extremely left, you can take them off to an Antifa march. I truly believe it's up to the parent to protect their children from what they see, both online and offline. But the flip side to it is I completely agree with everything you say, and not enough parents will do it themselves, so I'd ban the whole damn lot of them. Particularly, I mean, we've talked before in the show, we could ban porn in the country overnight. We've seen states in America just get rid of the websites. We could do it at the flick of a switch at the government level. And if it comes to child protection, I think we should be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, there is evidence that, by the way, you know, the ban on pornography made no difference to sexual assaults in the states in America that did it. But it's not just about sexual assaults. It's about the damage that it does to a child.
Yeah, it's exposure.
Yeah, and the expectations then young boys have of girls, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I agree.
I have a young girl, and I mean, I'm only starting out, so I can only imagine what it's going to be like. She starts school tomorrow, she's 4. But in 10 years' time, we're probably looking at VR headsets and people literally walking into an online world and people stripping off in front of them. God only knows what they're going towards. Mm. And I think we need to put in place the measures now to counteract that as we move on. And
well, in fairness to Elon Musk, he is encouraging California to pass new legislation around restrictions on AI.
Yeah.
And he believes AI should be, and he's been saying it from the very start. That's why he was originally one of the developers and founders of AI. The AI that we're going to, and he backed out because he felt that others were using it for profit and for the wrong reasons. You know, he obviously wanted to use it for the right reasons, you know, to benefit mankind and all that kind of thing. Maybe of course he wanted to be rich too, but he did back out of it.
I do have a big concern about how they go about blocking the kids getting online. And you mentioned their ID verification. The idea that young children under 18 would have to give their identification to a social media network, and you don't know where that information is being sold on to, and the GDPR issues behind it. I think it should be at an IP level or a block level, just blocking some of these platforms from kids. How do you get around it?
Well, look, I did say, yeah, there is ways of doing it. Obviously, banks do it, et cetera, and you do have a point in relation to children. Obviously having to produce passports or whatever it is for identification. I had to do it there the other day for my Revolut account, you know, to get your head into the circle. You know, you take a picture of your license or driver's license or a passport and then get your head into this circle. It took me nearly half an hour to get my head into the middle of the circle. And they verify you.
It's a bit of security with a bank. Yeah. With a bank, you're a little bit more confident, but, you know.
I get the point you're making. So the bottom line is, I don't believe it's the tech company's responsibility. You know what I mean?
No. Nope.
I believe it's the parents, solely the parents' responsibility. But maybe the genie's already out of the bottle, Sean. Too late.
It's like you said, it's not the genie, it's the pressure. I don't think there's a parent out there who wants their kids on social media, but a lot of them don't have the mental capacity to turn around and say no, and this is why, and stick to their guns. And I think they need the help and hand along.
Yeah, actually, Sean, will you just stay with me for a second there? Just keep Sean on the line there. Nuala, hi, how are you?
Well, not too bad at all, no.
Yeah, Sean says it's not the tech company's responsibility. It's the parents, just the parents.
Oh, it is the parents, because once the government get control of something and they're telling you how to live your life, I mean, sure, I mean, that's going down the wrong road. Like, I mean, the parents are the first educators of the kids. That's what it says in the Constitution.
But would it not be a good idea if the state, and I'll ask both you and Sean this, if the state brought in legislation to say it's illegal for a child under 16 to be on social media in Ireland, would that not be a good reason then for parents to do it? Because parents are not going to do it. And I'll give you an example. They brought in a ban in 2018 and smoking in the car if you have a child under the age of 12. Remember that legislation? As far as I know, nobody has ever been arrested for it or charged. But, and it's very difficult to police that, everybody said at the time, but it's not happening very much anymore. And the reason is because there's a law there. It doesn't, like the law, for example, for drinking under the age of 18. You know, people under 17 drink all the time and nobody really gets arrested for it. But in saying that, the law is there as a guideline and it stops people from wanting to do something. So in other words, if they allow the government, and I'm not a fan of the government bringing in any kind of restrictive laws, but on this occasion we have to protect children. If we bring in a law and say it's illegal, well then parents can just turn around to the kids and say, oh no, I can't. It's illegal. I can't get you a smartphone, sorry.
Sure, I don't know. This girl told me that, you know, if you can't be over 18 or you have to be over 18 to drink. Now, she told me that, all the leaving certs, they were all out drinking on the...
Oh, I know, yeah.
Last week. And she told me that you can get an ID for €30.
Oh, you can, yeah.
Fake ID.
Yeah, of course you can.
So, like, I mean, it's the same thing. If the parent has the mobile in the house, the child can pick it up and start looking at something. And sometimes parents do give the child... I've seen a child... And it was running, wasn't able to talk, and it had the mobile in front of it with some kind of a thing on it. And as soon as the parent went to take it away, it whinged, so the parent gave it back again. So it was the parent's phone, but they were giving it to the baby. They couldn't even talk.
I know. Young babies know how to swipe on a mobile phone. It's ridiculous. Yeah, we're kind of brainwashing them into using them. You know what I mean? And that's parents, again, are ultimately responsible. Like, you wouldn't hand, a small baby a bottle of whiskey, but you would hand them a mobile phone that would have all sorts of stuff on it that would be completely inappropriate for them.
You see, I think sometimes, and people would be, that when a child is the parents actually don't mind the child at all anymore. As soon as they get up, it's shoved into a crèche. As soon as they come home, it's shoved into bed. So they don't have to say no to the kid. And maybe only at the weekend, maybe they'll have to say, oh, no, Johnny, you can't have any more chocolate, you know? And
I don't know, but Sean, you're saying your kid's only 4 years of age, right? So it's all ahead of you, right? But are you going to be able to say no? When your kid turns around at 11 years of age, let's say it was now, right, and says, oh, but everybody else in the class has an iPhone, Daddy, or a mobile phone, Daddy. If I don't have one, I'll be bullied, I'll be isolated. Will you be able to say no?
I don't know. I like to think I will, but quite obviously by the parents who are going before me, I probably won't. That's exactly why I think in this rare occasion I'd agree with some kind of limitations on free speech and bringing in legislative changes.
Mm.
I think parents do need that help in hand. I think it's very, very hard to say no when it's a group think. I think the no phones in school will be a good help to this. But children have an access to the apps they have access to. That TikTok alone, you can't continue with another generation of kids going through what the last generation have gone through. Mm. I mean, we've seen, like you said, the reports of children being petrified of climate change, petrified of X, Y, and Z, anxiety problems, the eating disorders, and it's just getting worse and worse. So,
yeah,
where's the line?
Why are kids, you know, 12 years of age? You're right. Kids 12 years of age, you know, are worried about the far right, the far left, climate change, and all of these things that they shouldn't be worried about or even thinking about at that age. You know what I mean? We didn't think about stuff like that. I mean, I didn't, as I mentioned earlier on, when I was 12 or 13 years of age, I didn't even know what suicide was. Do you know what I mean? And yet now, 13-year-olds are on TikTok and they're being fed videos daily of other kids saying they want to end their lives.
I think protection of children used to be something that was absolutely sacrosanct in society. And I think there's blind eyes to it everywhere nowadays. And it doesn't matter whether it's violence, the sexual content, it's trans ideology. Wherever you go in society at the moment, everyone is attacking kids. Everything is aimed at kids. Everything's marketed at kids. Capitalism is turned towards kids. The mobile phone industry, the social media industry, everything is aimed at getting them younger and younger and younger and getting them hooked. And then you have the algorithms that feed back into that. That's not a society that can grow and be fruitful for people to have families and have kids.
Sean, stay there just for a second. Just keep Sean there. Let me go to Tommy. Tommy, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Niall? You well?
Good. Sean says you can't be blaming the tech companies, but you are. You're saying the tech companies should be held responsible.
Yeah, well, look what we had to do with the tobacco and alcohol companies regarding advertising to kids. We had to get them in line, didn't we?
Yeah, but they didn't do it. We did. We brought in legislation not to advertise cigarettes anymore, et cetera, et cetera. They weren't interested in doing that.
And what happens if they do?
In what respect?
If they're not responsible with their advertising.
But they're not responsible. We know tech companies are not responsible. They're like the cigarette companies of the past. You're right. We know they're not responsible people.
Why can't we do it? Why can't we start, if the likes of Facebook and all this, why can't we get them to sponsor a campaign on TV like alcohol does or drink driving?
Mm.
Why can't we start a campaign like that?
Would it not be better just as parents if we make the decision this is not good for our kids? I mean, like, would you have brought your 14-year-old to see a Quentin Tarantino movie 30 years ago? No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You'd get in trouble.
Okay, but here's the thing. Would you blame the cinema if your child went to a Quentin Tarantino movie?
Yes.
Would you? Would you tell the cinema they can't show those kind of movies anymore? Or would you blame you as a parent for not knowing where your child was?
You can't follow them 24/7. And kids will be kids and be mischievous. Who do I blame for a kid smoking? You blame the advertising and you blame the person that sold the cigarette.
Do you?
We have to be more responsible. Companies have to be responsible with a dangerous product. Social media is...
But there is laws around dangerous products. Like, you can't sell cigarettes to somebody under the age of 18. You can't sell alcohol to somebody under the age of 18. Now, they'll get mates to buy them. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing the companies can do about that. But that's our responsibility as parents, to make sure your kid isn't smoking or drinking.
Okay, well, you shouldn't be allowed to download social media if you're under 16.
How do we go about that? Because, you know, okay, you can do, you know, age verification by taking photographs or take a photograph of your passport and upload it or whatever it happens to be. And that's what some companies do. Banking companies do that. But as Sean said, when you're talking about minors and people under the age of 18, there's a bit of a GDPR issue about who that information is going to.
Exactly how to do it. In Indonesia and in China, they have two versions of TikTok, one for kids, one for adults. If you want the adult version, you need a driver's license or a passport. Or give a credit card. You want the kids' version, you download that.
Mm.
Why can't we have, you know, the way you have a Play Store on a phone that you buy these apps?
Yeah.
Why don't we make sure that anyone that registers with that Play Store is either over the age of 16, has a credit card, driver's license, or passport?
They're
only available to some apps. They can only buy some apps. You can't buy alcohol online. We should be able to buy Facebook online.
Okay, let me ask Sean. Sean, that's not a bad idea. So by default, Sean, you only get the kids' version. And if you want the adult version, you have to opt into it by obviously uploading your age verification.
No, because then you've got the same usual people. You've got Mark Zuckerberg, whoever it is, and ex Elon Musk in charge of everything the children see. And it'll soon be, I don't know, what's his name, O'Gorman, saying what kids can watch and can't watch on TikTok. I think it has to be one or the other. It's their space and children have access. It's not their space and children don't have access. I'd be very worried about the content that would be displayed to children in the children's own TikTok by the governments and the EU.
In other words, you're advertising it as something for children. So in other words, you're promoting it as something for children and something that I might think is inappropriate. Yeah.
It'll be packed full of green ideologies.
Yeah, it'll be packed full of people telling you you can be a girl if you want to be and a boy if you want to be and all that kind of carry on. Yeah, yeah, I get you. Yeah, no, Tommy, I do see problems with controlling that, Tommy. I understand the point you're making, but I do see problems with controlling that. Sorry, Tommy, go ahead.
What movies our children see, if we control what books children can see, we can control what they see on social media. It's a very easy fix. If your child is under 16 and they have Facebook child version of that, the parent can be the admin on the social media where they get a notification if something is inappropriate. And then Facebook gets sued.
But you're making a huge assumption that most parents are reasonably tech savvy. Most of them are not.
Well, then ban it.
Because I think what you're doing here is you're abdicating parents' responsibility.
Everyone has to be responsible. You can't have one without the other. You can't say okay.
But you wouldn't need the tech companies to be responsible if parents did their job.
Well, and not let them on whatsoever.
No, not under 16.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, have you got kids, Tommy?
I have a son who's 8.
Okay, he's not on social media, I assume.
He watches YouTube, and I don't leave the room, and he's on it. And if I do, I check the history when I get back.
Right. Okay.
So the kids' version of YouTube, where people can't make comments or suggest videos, you can only watch.
What happened to parents? What happened to parents? Because I had a lad on the radio there going back 2 years ago, telling me that his 7-year-old plays Grand Theft Auto. So what happened to parents? Why are parents stupid when it comes to these things? I mean, they wouldn't have been 20, 30 years ago, parents wouldn't have allowed you to go to an over-18s movie, yet parents nowadays would let their kids play over-18s games and go onto social media, which is clearly over-18s, if you ask me.
What this lad just said is that it's up to the parents to decide whether they can watch stuff or it's up to them to homeschool. Well, if parents say, I want my child at 9 years of age to watch pornography because I think it's good for his mental, I think it's good to get him used to sexuality.
Well, if a parent said that to me, I'd want them in jail. But anyway.
Maybe kids playing video games and the parents know about it. Maybe kids on social media and the parents know about it. Maybe the government should get involved.
Okay, so you don't think legislation would be such a bad idea?
I think it'd be a great idea. It's a dangerous product like tobacco. It's convincing kids that they're different genders. It's convincing kids they have mental health issues when they don't. It's telling them you're not good enough unless you use our product. And it's destroying lives left, right, and centre. Not even everyone says they have anxiety now. They're afraid that because they're told they're not good enough unless they get enough likes. It's disgraceful. And anyone that advocates for under the age of 16 is basically saying, you might as well let your kids smoke and drink alcohol and watch pornography, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the comments coming in. Elaine Mullally says, as a parent, I made it my responsibility. The anti-broadcast says, Alex, anyone other than parents. And we're getting into dangerous territory. We're already pretty draconian if we are controlling how parents parent. But we're not. No, hold on. We already do have some level of control how parents parent. There are certain things that are legal and illegal to do. Like, it's illegal to hit your child. It's illegal not to send your child to school. It's illegal to buy your child alcohol. It's illegal to buy your children cigarettes. It's illegal to let your child drive a car. There are things that are legal. It's not about controlling children. It's about protecting children. You've got to think about this the right way around. I'm not one for controlling anybody. I have never, ever suggested censorship. I'm an advocate for free speech. But when it comes to children, we have a responsibility. That's all well and good if you're over 18 years of age. Let me go to Sarah. Sarah, hi. How are you?
How's it going?
Hey, and Sarah, best of luck. I know you've been in hospital. You were in ICU, actually. Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, yeah.
I'm glad you're out of hospital.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Anyway, the network was crap.
Yeah, I couldn't be sitting there eating hospital food for long, to be honest with you now, in fairness.
Oh, it was a stop, but the oranges was lovely.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Yeah, but the chicken and the meat are not the best. The meat looks like leather.
Well, I tell you, I lived on the soup. The soup and the sambal did me well.
All right. Sarah, I hope you're okay, and I hope you make a quick recovery, all right?
Thanks a million, Niall.
Anyway, getting back to kids on social media, whose job is it?
I think everybody has a responsibility. And just listening to the last week, there, like, you're spot on. I think social media is good educational-wise. And I think under supervision, it should be only used for that. But a mobile phone at 16 is way too young.
Mm-hmm.
However, I remember many years ago, I was an early school leaver and I did a FOSS course and Brian Lenehan came into the class and we were taught how to build a computer. We were taught how it worked, and we were taught about the World Web and the World dangers
Web.
Of it.
The World Wide
Web. And we were also shown how to break into other people's network. We were also shown how these guys in America, that was after getting done for all this pornography of children.
Yep.
They thought they deleted everything off a computer and they didn't.
Yeah.
Jeez, however,
they showed you quite a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was going back 30 years, a bit on 30 years ago, Niall, right?
Yeah.
But today, like we're saying, like, why should the tech companies or advertising not be responsible for this? Like, if you're sitting in your house in the daytime and you see an advertisement coming on from the phone company, I'm not going to name any specific phone company, and they're throwing out these massive, lovely phones, and your child is sitting down looking at it and saying, oh God, can I have this? Or, you know, can I get this? Or, you know, you have that part of it as well. So there has to be some responsibility or accountability.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, look, I agree with not advertising alcohol and cigarettes before 9 o'clock at night. Well, cigarettes advertising is banned completely. But I agree with, you know, alcohol not being advertised before 9 o'clock at night, etc. But here's the thing. It's your job as a parent. If your kid sees a mobile phone, oh, the latest Samsung Galaxy, whatever, I don't know, and sees that and says, can I have one? You just go, no. You can. When you're 16, you can, yeah.
No, Niall, when we did that, right, what happened was we had the parent and aunt and she went on to, like, we got notifications if she wanted to join a group or wanted, and then we had to sort of go into the app itself and see the permissions on the app.
Yeah, the permissions, yeah.
And where it links to. And, like, when we went really into it, it was, like, horrific stuff that came up.
And by the way, these WhatsApp groups, people have probably not forgotten about WhatsApp, which is still social media, by the way. It's a messaging system, obviously. The WhatsApp groups are the worst things for kids. I was reading about something the other day about the amount of children who are bullied on WhatsApp in these groups, and they isolate them from the group, or they kick them out of the group if they're not cool anymore, and it causes great anxiety for children. WhatsApp groups are lethal. Lethal.
Yeah, I know, 100%, but I don't know what has changed there lately, even with my app. My WhatsApp, a load of other WhatsApp groups comes on, like, would I like to join in? And I'm like, what? I'm terrified even to look into WhatsApp. I don't have notifications on it. But yeah. That's just me alone.
People add me into WhatsApp groups. I have one in work, and there's two, actually, or three in work. And people just keep adding me into these groups. And I go, I don't want to be in your poxy group or your WhatsApp group. I don't want to be in them. I have enough to be doing during the day without looking at streams of messages from other people with thumbs ups and likes and hearts and all sorts of things. So I'm not into it. I don't want to be part of WhatsApp groups.
I know. Then you get offended when you delete yourself out of the group.
Do you remember? Yeah, do they still do that if you leave the group but actually announces to everybody, Niall Boylan has left the group? Yeah, they go, what's he leaving for?
Yeah, to take it so personal. But I think for the mental health side of things for children, I think there should be a law, good legislation down.
Okay.
And yet we have phones there today that will do, make a phone call for protection.
Yeah, but you can still buy the Nokia phones. You know, they have a newer version of it, obviously. And it makes phone calls and it texts. That's all you really need.
I know. I was listening to one of the listeners last night, and whoever it was touched on a big time.
Yeah.
They have it for care of the elderly.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you can sort of give that up until the age of, I even still 16 as well, still way too young, like, for the mind. To be honest.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Maybe 18 is better, but 16 is probably a decent guideline. Stay there for a second, Sarah. Let me go to Jackie as well. Jackie, hi, how are you?
Hi, and I agree with a lot of your speakers are saying there, and I definitely would not agree with any child getting a smartphone until after 16.
So whose job is that?
It starts with the parents. I mean,
then why is Stephen Donnelly going after the tech companies?
Well, look, I suppose there has to be a start somewhere. And the tech companies, they have to look at the tech companies. Now, again, you're always afraid when people start when governments start looking at tech companies, are they trying to then get this bit of the jigsaw and then get the other bit, then when we get down to hate speech or whatever. You know, you're always worried about that. But, I mean, I see parents, when I go shopping, and I see, like, 2 and 3 year olds and an iPad in front of them on sitting on a trolley being wheeled around. What is happening is that parents, it's the easy way out. Throw an iPad or a phone in front of a child. It keeps them occupied, and it gets them hooked.
Yeah. It's like a drug. There's no doubt. It's like a drug. Mobile phones exactly. are like a drug. They destroy everything. They destroy communication. They destroy children's social interaction with their friends in school, for example. They destroy relationships. Mobile phones. Yeah. Like if I didn't work in media, and I promise you this, I wouldn't look at Twitter, Facebook, or any of it. I wouldn't be interested. I only do it because I work in media, and it benefits me to do that financially.
And if you ask any parent that's listening to your show here now, had they had any hassle got to do with bullying or whatever online with WhatsApp, Snapchat or whatever, and I can guarantee you every parent had to deal with problems with their children because of social media.
And oh yeah, I've been kicked out. You know, I've been kicked out of the group on WhatsApp, and they're not talking to me because some kid said something about me, and all of a sudden they feel isolated and bullied, and then they're going on to TikTok, and the first thing they see then is some kid who's self-harming themselves and talking about suicide and being depressed at 13 years of age, and you're going, what the hell? Like, you know what I mean?
And I had this conversation with my 17-year-old only 2 days ago when I said, well, look, supposing the minister bans smartphones in schools and stuff, would you agree with it? And he said, oh my God, but then what happens if I need to contact someone or you need to contact me? And
yeah,
said,
ring the school secretary.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
I know where you are. I can get to that school. I can make a phone call. There's, you know, what you might think is important on the greater scheme of things, it mightn't be that important at all. But the fact of just having trying to come up with an excuse of trying to keep that phone in your pocket, I think, you know, I think I would agree they should not be let into schools.
I mean, if every kid just had regular Nokia-type phones, you know, there would be no need to ban them from schools because there's nothing really they could do with them apart from text their parents, right? So, if that was the case, then we wouldn't need to go down this route. But smartphones, you know, handing a kid a smartphone at 13 or 14 years of age, you might as well be handing them a loaded gun.
And you know, I was going to say that initially, and I thought, you know, it was a wrong thing to say. But now you said it. But it is. You are. Look at the amount of suicides that has been involved in bullying online and you know, through the phones, through WhatsApp, Snapchat, and all those. So it's definitely, it's like cigarettes have a warning on them.
Okay, but what about all these people? What about all these people that then one or two today said, including Tommy, I think it was earlier on there, said, oh no, the social media companies have a huge role to play in this. Do they really? I don't believe they have any role to play in this. I mean, you know, there are companies in this world that sell stuff for people over the age of 18, right? You know what I mean? And who's like if your kid comes home with a sex toy, for example, that they bought in a sex shop or something, or an adult shop, or somebody bought it for them in an adult shop, you know, who are you going to blame? Are you going to blame the manufacturer of their sex toy? No, you're not. You're going to blame...
No.
You know what I mean? You have a duty as a parent to know what they're doing, what they're up to. The same if they're smoking or they're drinking. You don't blame the brewery. You don't blame Philip Morris who makes the cigarettes. You blame your own child, and you talk to your own child about what they've just purchased or bought.
Yeah. Where has parenting gone? You know, when we have a child, we're supposed to protect that child.
I'm looking at a story here. Look at this story, right? It's gone off screen. But there's on the Washington Post, a 12-year-old girl went on Facebook and live streamed her own suicide.
Oh,
I mean, how do you compete with that kind of stuff? You just can't. That's like that's a red flag. That's a message to every parent. You don't let your children on social media.
No. Absolutely. And again, I'll say it.
It took 2 weeks for Facebook, by the way, to take the video down. 2 weeks to take the video down.
Ah, that's wrong. That's so wrong. But again, is there any parent out there that hasn't had major issues with their children due to social media? I wonder. Is there any parent?
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there, Jackie, for a second. Let me go to Nuala, another Nuala. There's a lot of Nuala's. The Nuala's. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Nuala, I mean, okay, so we all know it's a bad thing, without a shadow of a doubt. We've all said that. And we all know the parents have a level of responsibility. But the tech companies have a responsibility. Do the government, should they bring in a legislation around this?
No, I'm purely on the side of parents. This is for parenting and parenting alone. And I'm speaking as a mother of a 24-year-old and a 28-year-old.
Okay.
My 28-year-old would have had a dumb phone, texting, calls only.
Yeah.
You know, and that was only because I lived rurally, and we had a school bus service, and we had a bus that went in the morning and a bus that came home before she left school in the afternoon. And my concern and allowance for her to have the phone was because what if she misses the bus?
Yeah, I know. I have no objection to a kid having a phone with, that can text and take calls. Yeah. And by the way, your 28-year-old, when they were 14, social media was a big thing then.
Smartphone. She had a smartphone before I had a smartphone.
Yeah, but you didn't have the same complication, Nuala. Your daughter's 28 now. Social media really only is a big thing in the last 10 years. So you wouldn't have had that challenge that, you know, parents have now when they're 12, when the kids are 12 and they want a smartphone.
I agree with you, but by the same token, I also compare it to, I could read very young. I was just one of those kids that could read very, very young. 2, 3, I could read.
Yeah.
My brothers were the opposite. You know, they were, you know, Mammy has told me about how my eldest brother used to struggle with reading, never thought he'd learn to read. And he was like 7 or 8. They were very intelligent, my parents. We had a wide range of material in the house from, you know, the records that we listened to, you know, across the spectrum, the books that we had. I read the encyclopedia. I learned the flags. I also read Nell McCafferty probably about 6 years of age. And let me tell you, for its time, it was very explicit.
Oh, was. It would have been from Nell McCafferty, yeah, yeah.
You know, I can remember my mother telling me about Lady Chatterley's Lover was banned in this country. And then she emigrated to the UK. She went and got it out of the library because she was intrigued as to why it was banned. And then she said, and I read it. And I said, why can't we read it? Why did they ban it in Ireland?
Yeah, well, we're a bit slower over here. We didn't know we had penises over here until the 1970s.
Yeah, it's, like, to me, social media is similar because, you know, this, you know, Nell McCarthy would not have been considered reading material for a 6, 7-year-old.
No.
Exactly. But I read it. Didn't do me any harm. Didn't turn me into something.
No, don't get me wrong. There are examples of stuff that would have been out years ago. And by the way, it would have been your parents' responsibility to make sure you didn't read stuff that might be not age appropriate, right?
Yeah, well,
that would be in the family home. But no, we're not. Yeah, but hang on. You know, having a smartphone is like having 10 million copies of Lady Chatterley's Lover. I mean, you could access pornography in seconds. The hardest core pornography in seconds. When I was 13 years of age, the best I got to see was a mate of mine came home with a copy of Mayfair magazine from London because they were barred here or banned in Ireland. And I got to see a naked woman for the first time when I was 13 years of age. But nowadays at 13, they have access to, you know, videos of hardcore bondage and all sorts of pornography. I mean, that's
100%. Yeah. You know, because there was some. My son came home and had been told by a friend that he was about 11. He says, "Mummy, Owen says I should go on to this place on the internet." Hmm. And
sure he did. Yeah.
And like, as soon as I heard the name, I can't remember. It wasn't YouTube. It was like
Pornhub.
But he told me it was porn.
Yeah.
I said, okay. And he said, but I don't think I should. Because he was he was never a blokey bloke. You know, he was actually.
He's an unusual boy because most boys wouldn't be telling their parents they're looking at porn. Sorry, Nuala, I have to get through a lot of people anyway. But you basically believe the book stops with the parents and you wouldn't legislate for it, would you?
No, I wouldn't legislate. As far as I'm
Would the legislation not help parents?
Censorship of not just, you know.
No, I hate censorship. I appall censorship. But when it comes to children, it's child protection. It's not censorship. That's why we have age limits on movies and age limits on games and age limits on books and stuff like that.
Point, but I still think a huge amount of that is parents and open speaking and being okay. open and not embarrassed.
Well, good parents do that, Joe. Good parents.
Don't embarrass them. Don't make them feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Thank you for that, Nuala. Appreciate it. Let me just go to Tara as well. Tara, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are things?
Good. Connie, I'll be with you in a second. Connie's like Rambo. I'm dying to talk to her. She was fighting. telling us about a fight in a pub the other day. She was like a MacGyver or something. Anyway, sorry, Tara. Getting back to whose job is it to police children on the internet?
Well, parents are responsible to an extent, but the responsibility of enforcement can only lie with the tech company, firstly, and the government, secondly. I mean, parents can't be looking over their children's shoulders 24/7, so they're not going to police their kids as intensely as would be required for something like social media.
But they don't. Well, they don't give them a smartphone. Well, then just don't give them a smartphone till they're 16. What's the problem with that?
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, but like in fairness, it has always been parents could have made that decision like 5 years ago, and that hasn't worked. They haven't done that. Kids do have phones.
Yeah.
So you know that hasn't worked so far. Parents can't be expected to keep on top of these things because they've enough to be worrying about, first of all. And plus, a lot of parents don't understand all the apps. There's so many different apps. So I think, like, parents have had the chance to try and put a stop to all of this. But it's realistically...
Is that not a bit of a lazy excuse, to be honest with you? You know, saying, parents don't... But, I mean, then parents have a duty to understand what's going on. They're their kids.
They do, but it hasn't worked so far. Because technically speaking...
So we throw in the towel then? It doesn't work, you just throw in the towel.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that the tech company now needs to step in and put a barrier at the initial stage when you're setting up an account. So that, you know, like, it's very easy to enforce that. And I think, well, no, I say very easy, I mean, it'd be very expensive. And in Australia, just last May, the federal government announced a $6 million commitment to trial an age verification program that will restrict children's exposure to inappropriate online content. And that would include pornography. And the way they put it was potentially social media. So there seems to be a bit of a grey area.
Okay, do you know how they go about that? How do they go about doing that? I don't know how they go about doing that.
I don't know the ins and outs of how they're going to go about doing it. I do know that tech experts have fought against it because they've said that any effective age verification technology, it's so complex and it poses data security risks and that your privacy is no more. That's
the problem. I mean, it's not technically impossible. As I say, banks do it all the time. Revolut do it all the time. So it's not technically impossible to do. It's actually quite easy to do. But the problem, you're right, is the data. Now, I trust a bank, but I certainly don't know if I trust Pornhub.
And I definitely trust Mark Zuckerberg even less.
I mean, if you
remember when Snapchat started with those filters there that would analyze your face and they put the dog filter on it or whatever filter you were using. A lot of people voiced concerns about that facial data and where it was being stored and used. And that was a few years ago. And people are more suspicious now than ever of the government and of those kind of social media organizations. So they'd be, you know, they're likely to fight any kind of facial analysis. So even though it will be quite easy to enforce, in terms of putting a barrier in place for kids. I personally believe that no one under the age of 18 should be on social media. But I do think that the barrier you'd have to put in place, as in, you know, say, for instance, if you upload an official photo ID, like a passport or a driver's license, something official that states your name and your photo, and then the app will ask you to take a photo of your face in real time, and it will run a facial comparison of the real-time photo with the one on the document. And if they match, you're allowed to proceed. I mean, that's how you'd go about it. But, you know, the downside to that is that the tech companies would argue, well, this will prompt a lot of people to delete their social media because people have concerns that the government are trying to record everyone's facial angles through those apps. And there's concerns about where that data is being kept. I mean, none of us trust those social media companies and we don't trust the government. So even though there is a very simple way
I understand all that, and this is why I said ultimately it comes down to parents saying no, right? But parents seem to have an inability to say no, because if they say no to Mary and Johnny and Mark and everybody else in the class has one, they feel a bit isolated, right? So every parent has to do it to make it work. And that's why I'm saying normally I would never agree with legislation. But we do have lots of legislation around protecting children, you know, about driving, smoking, drinking, all of those things that kids are not allowed to do, we legislate for, right? So what harm would it be to legislate for something that's equally as dangerous, if not more dangerous than drinking and smoking?
I agree.
Why not legislate and say, sorry, under the age of 16, let's say 16 for the moment, you cannot go on social media. So then at least that's a good get out for parents to say, when the kid says, "Mom, can you get me a Galaxy for Christmas?" You know, your Samsung Galaxy, you go, "Well, no, because the government said you're not allowed to have one."
I completely agree. The parents do need that kind of, I don't want to say excuse, but they do need that kind of support to be able to say, look, my hands are tied. Because they will bow to pressure. They will fall under the pressure from the kids saying, oh, everyone else in my class has it and I'm getting bullied here because I don't have it. They will succumb to that pressure. So I think they do need to have that get-out clause where they say to the kid, look, my hands are tied. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get penalised like €1,000 because you're on this. So I think they do need to have that legislation as a backup clause for the...
Yeah,
for
give them a bit of support. Tara, just stay there for a second because I want to go to Connie. Rambo, hi, how are you? Special agent, special agent Connie.
Hey, dog is a dog. Is that fucking no, no, we'll all be okay. Stop.
Yeah, mad thing, yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to give you the dog. But anyway...
So let me ask the question. Whose responsibility? Tara believes the tech company have a huge role to play in this as well, by the way.
First and foremost, like, as a parent, you know, it's a big job to take on. But when you do, you know, I've seen a couple. I was doing some work for them. And their child was only, I don't know, about a year and a half. And they were keeping her quiet by repeatedly playing this stuff. Which was like brainwashing on a phone, and I was like, oh my god, good god above me. It frightened me, and I don't have children, but if I did, I'd be on them, you know. You have to watch, they're not going to tell you the truth anyway, you know. Yeah. And you know what, you think they're going to be doing in their bedroom on their own? I was listening to you last night, Niall, and I agree with everything you said and a lot of things. Like, and first and foremost, it stops with the parents, and even if there's only one parent, you know, be streetwise, you know, be clued in. Realise all the stuff that's going out there, you know? And don't be living in a bubble of, oh, it's grand. It'll be grand. No, it's not grand. They shouldn't be open to that stuff. They're too young. Their brains are developing. Mm. You know, take them out in nature. And the person that was on last night that said he went to wherever it was.
He went up to Northern Ireland to bring the kids on a little holiday. Like, and he ended up having to turn the car around because they went into meltdown because there was no Wi-Fi.
Exactly. I mean, God almighty. I mean, come here. I'll put my hand up. I've spent too much time on social media, completely. But I mean, like, I'm an adult at least, and I should have more cop on. But I mean, if you have children, if you have care to them, first and foremost, it's up to the parents. Okay, tech companies, they're going to lose billions, yes. But I mean, you know, if you have some way that you can turn off their internet, you know, isn't there that's possible? Like, just do it.
Why
like,
not? Why not? Okay, when you say let's all turn off their internet, or let's get parents to be more tech savvy and keep an eye on what they're looking at and all that kind of stuff. Why not just ban the sale and the ownership of smartphones for children under 16?
They shouldn't be allowed to sell until they're over, I'd say 18 is soon enough.
Only 18.
Well, 16 maybe.
Yeah, Tara, you said 18 too, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, 18. I really think that they should not be allowed on social media under the age of 18.
Yeah, you can't go to an adult movie till you're 18, I suppose, yeah.
Well, because, I mean, you know what, they might be more focused with their work in school. I'm not sure how important that is, but they might be focused on developing their skills otherwise if they weren't so consumed by social media and all this stuff that goes with it. And
but children are naturally, see, children, when you hand a phone to a child with the word Google on it, children are naturally curious. Because I remember, I remember a mate of mine years ago, and he was breaking his bollocks laughing, telling me that his son, and he showed me the history, right, on his computer. Now, this is going back about 15, 20 years ago. His son was only 13 and he let him play on the computer, you know. And he went in afterwards, because it was in his little office in his house, and he looked up the history. And the first thing the son did at 13 years of age was typed into Google, nudie women. Right?
Oh, my God almighty.
That was the first he types in. Like, you couldn't think of anything else. Nudie women.
No, I could do one better than that. Do you remember the disc that we had there years ago, Encarta Encyclopedia?
Yes.
I had that. This was before we had Google, right? I know I sound really old now. But we had the Encarta disc. And, you know, if ever you were doing work for a school project, you'd go on to Encarta. And hope to God they had whatever you were talking about. I remember my cousin... like that now, a teenage boy went on it and typed in boobs, hoping to find some kind of dirty pictures on it, cards of all things.
Boobs. Yeah, but that's definitely something that a boy would do. Actually, stay there, both of you. Let me go to Angela as well. Connie and Tara, stay with me. Angela, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, Angela. Okay, so people are blaming everybody here. The government, the tech companies, the parents. Whose fault is it?
Parents, absolutely. He's got rights like that. I mean, how can you blame the government, first of all? They're not the ones who are handing out Wi-Fi and tablets and phones to kids. How can you blame the servers, the networks, all of that?
They're not doing it either. Yeah, they're drawing them, but it's the parents. If you want to be, and excuse my language, a fucking idiot and give your child of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 a smartphone and give them access to everything, that's your fault. Whatever happens to those kids is your fault for not keeping an eye on your child.
But the problem parents have now, that's all well and good as an argument 10 years ago. The problem parents have now is that, oh, sorry, somebody's echoing back to me there, is that, you know, if you take, you know, the smartphone off little Mary, all of a sudden little Mary feels isolated because all her mates have one. Isn't that the problem?
Well, take them off everyone. Take them off all the kids.
You're saying that, but they're not going to do that, are they?
They're not going to do that, but you know what I would do? Ban them from the schools at the age of under 16, right? I absolutely have to laugh.
Well, that's a given. That's a given. The Minister of Education said it during the week that she wanted to bring in a ban.
And there's
nobody. I was going to do it as a topic and I said nobody would disagree with that. Great idea. Ban them from schools. That's a start.
Absolutely. Ban them from the schools.
Okay, but most of the damage doesn't really happen in the school because they don't really get a chance to look at their phones too much.
It happens outside
the school. They don't really get much of a chance to look at their phones in the school.
Niall, you're away with the fairies if you think that. You are absolutely away with the fairies if you think that they're not sitting in school on TikTok, on Snapchat, snapping each other inside in bathrooms, doing dancing, doing this, bullying. All of that happens inside the school as well. Mm. And I also think that if your child is caught doing something outside of the school to another child that's in they're both in the same school, the school should get involved as well. Because it's not just happening outside the school. And what I would do is, if you're caught inside the school with a phone, it's gone. And donated to charity. It's gone. You're not getting it back. There's no fine. There's no this. That would put a stop to their gallop. And all these parents who are sitting there and it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, little Johnny. Poor little Johnny gets into everything, doesn't he? But poor little Johnny is sitting up, you know, on his PlayStation, on his phone. You go up. He has an absolute complete meltdown because he's not allowed on it. Tough shit. And for every 5 minutes that you have a tantrum, that's another day off that you're not getting it. When did parents stop becoming parents? And we've said this plenty of times lately. When did parents start becoming best friends?
Connie, do you have kids? Actually, Connie, do you have children?
No, just dogs and cats.
Me too, Connie.
If I had kids, they would be monitored and supervised.
Ah, you're all, see, that's easy to say when you don't have, and to you and Angela,
Niall, you're wonderful. That's easy to say when you don't have kids. Niall, for over 15 years, I've minded kids. And never have any of those kids got my phone. And they don't get my phone. And they get a limited amount of screen time, limited as in, they have their turn in the morning before they go to school, and that's when they have it. And that's it.
I'm looking here. There's a message on the screen and it says, who are them two spinsters on the air? What would they know? Okay. Spinsters.
I'm not a spinster because I'm divorced. They should look up what the definition of a spinster is.
Oh, you're divorced too, Connie, are you? Connie. Okay.
Yeah. If anyone wants to know, I don't care. I have five baby angels in heaven. So you, whoever said that.
You have five what? Sorry, said it again.
I have five baby angels in heaven.
I'm sorry, so, you know, dear,
it's okay. I've got a tattoo. I've done the healing. I'm happy. Mm. But, you know, for anyone that called me names, go and F yourself and look in the mirror.
Connie, that'll show their ignorance. A spinster is an overturn.
I've done a lot of healing on myself. Married. I don't blame anybody else. Anything, honey. Yeah, exactly. Get over yourself.
That's probably a 17-year-old who's due back to school tomorrow listening to the show on their smartphone.
Don't a lot of schools not allow their phones?
But in fairness, it is easy to say, and I'm not having a go at you, right? But it is easy to say how you parent when you don't have kids. When I didn't have kids, I would be looking at other people with their kids and going, bleeding ages, why would they let a child do that? But once you have your own kids, it's a bit more difficult to deal with that situation.
Okay, well, Niall, give me an example. Give me an example of what you did with your child that you turned around and said, oh, I swore I'd never do that. Go on.
I'm trying to think of anything. Well, yeah, buy them sweets at a counter at a shop. Like, I always swore I would never give in to that, and I did. You know what I mean?
Why would you go away? Buy them
I'm just saying, like, yeah, but mind you, but my sons weren't on social media till they were about 16 or 17. But then again, you have to remember that, you know, they're older, a lot older, so it wasn't as big a deal. Social media is really only a thing in the last 10 years. So my youngest, my daughter, wasn't allowed on until she was 15 or 16. So,
well, I can remember my best friend has twins, right? And their first, you know, thing with social media was Bebo. And she got on to me and she said, okay, Ange, what's the story? What is it? And I said, okay, what I would do is, right, two beautiful, stunning girls. I said, they're allowed on Bebo, but there's no privacy. And you can feck off, Niall, now if I hear that, oh, a 16-year-old deserves their privacy. No, they don't.
No, this is
the reason why.
No. Hang on, I have to go to another caller here. Say that, Connie Angel. Yeah, no, 16-year-olds don't deserve their privacy. I suppose, but apart from obviously, you know, getting dressed and stuff like that, sharing. Personal privacy. Yeah. Yeah, they don't deserve privacy online at 15 or 14 years of age. Absolutely not. That you should be entitled to, as a parent, to know exactly what they're doing. Let me go to Sean. Stay there. Sean, hi, Sean.
Hey, Niall, how's it going?
Sean, okay, you know, there's a multitude of people to blame here on why children are messed up because of social media and what we do about it. So who do we blame and what do we do about it?
Well, I suppose you have answered the question, you know, that the every parent would like for there to be a ban on social media for 16-year-olds. What the government are doing is not targeting 16-year-olds using social media. It's targeting everybody using social media. Like you mentioned yesterday with the free speech.
Yeah.
When you wrote an article that was contrary to the government's narrative, you were put on a list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the purpose of this legislation. If they wanted to ban social media for 16-year-olds, you said it's just legislate the device. And make them use dumb phones. There's a plethora of very good dumb phones out there that shouldn't be, you know, like every up to 18 years old, any child that wants a phone should be on a dumb phone, not a smartphone. And who should be responsible? It's the government's response to create legislation that, you know, their responsibility to create legislation that aids in a functioning society. It is the industry's responsibility to police that, and it is the parents' responsibility to give good guidance to their children. That's the responsibility ladder there.
Have we failed? Is Angela right? Are we failing as in the last, you know, in this generation, the alpha generation of kids, have we failed them by allowing them on social media?
We have, because we are beholden to a giant tech industry with a large lobby group, and they call the shots when it comes to good legislation in this country. It's not the citizenry and the legislation that should be pointed towards the safety of our children and good health outcomes in the population. It's a GDP-driven legislation.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose from a point of view of damage, this generation of children have been subjected to more pornography than any other generation than previously. I mean, that in itself is enough to want to protect children, isn't it?
Most definitely.
Yeah, sorry, Angela.
Jesus, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. Parents of this generation have destroyed childhoods on every single basis. Every single basis. All you have to do is look out at most of the kids. I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying most of the kids. They've no respect. They've no manners. They've no work. They don't know what anything is worth. They don't have to work for anything. They are just destroyed. Letting go out and drink at 14 and 15. Letting them smoke vapes. Letting them,
them change their gender.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Of course you could be what you want to be as long as you decide whether it's a boy or a girl and that's it. Like.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and this is what's happened.
But that influence, that influence, I mean, you look at how that gender ideology has grown over the last 5 years. Social media is primarily responsible for that. But it's it's been proven it's a social contagion.
Yeah, it's like, who's the cooler parent? Who has the cooler parent? And it's like, we're not, people are...
Women, by the way, women are the ones responsible for that, by the way. Now, can I just point out, I'm not taking the blame for this. Men are not responsible for children wanting to change their gender. It's women. It's cool mums.
It's women. Yeah, the cool mums that, you know, who want their kids to dress, you know, so sexy and all of this and going around with their hair, you know, up and their skirts up their backsides and their boob tubes and all that at the age of 12. It's like, that's what I'm saying. They're not parents anymore. They're best friends. And you can't raise a child being their best friend.
Sean, that's the way I think everybody's in agreement now that parents, sadly, have failed this generation.
The climate has changed. Niall, you know, that is a cheap shot to say that parents have failed this generation. Where what parents before were marvelous role models of what parents.
Oh no, they weren't perfect. No, they weren't. You know, of course, they weren't perfect.
But I will just say to wrap it off, we would, when we were kids, we were told to go out and play from morning to night and come back in. Yeah. You know, that option is not open to parents anymore. We have to helicopter parent our children.
Well, then you're agreeing, Sean. So how are you saying it's a cheap shot when you're actually agreeing that parents did a better job?
The climate has changed. That is a definite. There is no longer the safety in allowing our children to go out and play away from our gaze like it was. That is a definite. Parents changed from then till now? You know, I don't know. Parents are just looking for a different way to occupy their children's time, where it used to be...
Is that lazy? Yeah, but is that being lazy? Is that lazy parenting, isn't it?
Well, how would you... when you were young, Niall, did you go out with your mates and explore and play?
I did.
And get up to mischief?
Was
that lazy parenting?
No, I don't think so.
Were your parents around when you were playing and getting up to mischief with your mates?
No, they weren't. No, but they still cared where I was. The difference was I couldn't keep ringing or texting to tell them where I was because there was no mobile phones. So
yeah, no, but my point is...
No, Sean, it was a different time. Parents were more trusting of their children to some degree, to the independence of their children, because they had to be, because we had no way of communicating. So that was a different time. You can't compare like with like in that sense, but you can compare like with like in the fact that I do believe the parents had the child's interest at heart more so years ago. For example, there is no way my father would have ever have let me look at a porn magazine or buy a porn magazine or even left a porn magazine lying around for me to get access to it. It just wouldn't have happened. I would have to go rooting for it, right? Which I did on many occasions, can I point out? So I'd have to go rooting for it. Whereas now we will physically hand them a device. Hand them a device.
They can access
any pornography they want. They can watch any over 18s movie they want at the age of 12 or 13 or 14. That's crazy.
That's the testimony to the level of the device that it is. Niall, I worked in IT for a long time. Niall, I was a very late adapter to smartphones. I did not like them. I only got a smartphone because I needed to for work. Computers and laptops are tools. Smartphones are a waste of time.
Okay? I would agree.
We really need to legislate the device, not social media, because the social media legislation that the government are looking at is only to police social media for the general populace, not under 16-year-olds.
Can I challenge everybody before we finish today? If you really want to know how much of a waste of time social media and mobile phones are, go into your Apple phone. I don't know whether Samsung have it as well. I'm sure they do. And just do a quick search for screen time in your settings. And it'll tell you how long in the last month you've had your phone open and you've been looking at it. You will horrify yourself.
Every week. Niall, I get a message every week about my screen time. And it's crazy. Do you know what? I was away the weekend, right? I was down in Mount Shannon. And the best thing about being down there was the coverage was crap. And I left my phone there.
Mm.
And by God, did I have peace. But can I just say one other thing, which is the most disappointing thing, I think,
when I look back on my time in school. Now, not that I was the brightest or the brainiest or anything, but I used to love going to the library and sitting down with all my mates and looking through books and doing projects and all of that, you know, in libraries. You don't get that anymore because what is it? Google it.
Absolutely. Listen, Sean, Angela, thank you very much indeed. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's conversation as well. Thank you to Grip Media and Jason Osborne, who gave us the lowdown in relation to Mark Zuckerberg at the start of the show. And I think more of that will come out, by the way, not just from Mark Zuckerberg, but from Elon Musk maybe as well. But although he has already released a lot of information in relation to the X-Files, or the Twitter files, as they were called at the time, in relation to pressure that was put on Twitter by the governments of the world. And I can be absolutely sure, by the way, the Irish government were involved in that as well here, because of the course of the European headquarters is in Ireland on Twitter. During COVID-19, I can tell you for a fact that many politicians had put up tweets saying they had mates in Twitter. Remember that? Certain politicians saying they had mates in Twitter that could deal with certain things. Of course they could. And a lot of people, like myself, were shadow banned and ghost banned on social media. We said it at the time, but nobody believed it. And as I said at the time, I went on live on the air and I said that Facebook and other social networks were under pressure from governments of the world to remove stuff about COVID-19. I received a complaint to the broadcasting authority and to the radio station suggesting I was a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Turns out I was right. Mark Zuckerberg has just admitted it. He said he bowed down to that pressure, but he said he wouldn't do it again. He said he regrets doing it. He even had to remove memes, funny memes, in relation to COVID-19. I mean, it is crazy the control that social media has, and the governments, the control they want over social media. As I said already, I do agree with the idea of bringing in legislation for over 16th, but my reservation about that is, as much as I think it's for child protection and the right reasons, I think the government are doing it for the wrong reasons. I think the government are doing it so they have control over social media companies, control which they will then elaborate on and use for their own devices during elections or during anything, another pandemic or whatever it happens to be. I believe government want the control that social media. Social media has so much power, and yet the governments have so little, and they want that power because they're hungry for power. They're hungry for control. We know that with hate speech laws and everything else. So I suppose we shouldn't really bow down to that. But ultimately, what we've heard over the last hour and a half is that you parents out there are failing your children. This generation of parents have failed their children by allowing them on social media. Like, as I said earlier on, and it's a good example, there is no way in this wild, earthly world my father, and I was 12 years of age, would have handed me a porn magazine or said to me, listen now, there's a porn magazine upstairs in my top drawer. He wouldn't have said that to me. But yet we as parents now hand our child under the age of 18 a phone that has access to more pornography than I could ever imagine in this wild, earthly world. More corruption, more dangerous content as it's being shown on television. They go on TikTok. The first thing they're shown is some of the 13-year-old kid, their age usually, because it knows the age of the kid, who wants to self-harm or commit suicide. That's the kind of stuff they're being exposed to, which is all well and good if you're an adult and you can handle that information and you understand how serious that is. But as a child, you don't. When I was 13, I didn't even know what the word suicide meant. But nowadays, children are depressed. They're taking their own lives. And it's our fault as parents because we have allowed them and subjected them and exposed them to all of that on social media. It's time to take back control as parents. And the only time I would ever agree with the government bringing in legislation, controlling legislation, because it is about child protection under the age of 18. I don't believe over the age of 18 there should be any control, but under the age of 18, absolutely, is to ban the sale of smartphones to children. They should not have them. They don't need them. They just don't need them. They can have a laptop or a computer in the house like we would have had going back 20, 30 years ago. So if they're doing projects in school or need information, they can do that under full view of a parent being there. But to have a device which they will sit in their bedroom staring at for hours and hours and hours on end, it's just wrong. We have no idea what they're looking at. No idea. And how dangerous that content is. Anyway, listen, thank you to everybody for getting involved in the show today. Don't forget, by the way, please support the show. Oh, we have these conversations, myself and the other two staff here on the show, my two colleagues, we have this conversation every single day. How are we going to pay the bills at the end of the month? And we can only pay it with your support. How will we get the show to make money so we can actually run it properly and pay for it. It's not easy, you know. People think, oh, it's a podcast, they make a fortune. The problem we have is we supply it to you live every day. Most podcasts don't. You have to download them. You can download this podcast later on if you want to. But most people have already watched it because you watch it live. A few thousand on Twitter, a few thousand on Facebook, a few thousand on YouTube. You know what I mean? You all watch it live, so you don't get to download it, so we make no money out of it. The only way we can make money is by begging you to go onto our website, nileboylan.com, and donate. Stephen, by the way, says, parents are at fault, end of story. Gene says on WhatsApp, hey, Nile, I agree that teenagers should not have access to social media or smartphones. However, every time I have tried to stop this, the school introduces an app that the kids have to use. I have two kids in secondary. Their timetables are on an app, attendance, etc. They use their phones in numerous classes to look up information as per requests by the teacher. My youngest is in primary and all her readings and spellings are all done online. I have refused to use either of these and instead use books. And imagine, books. They need to have a conversation with the school before they do anything. They're right. Thank you for all your WhatsApps, Galway girl. I sent in another message as well. Oh, what am I to do with that? I don't know what to do with Galway girls on there. Well, they're just there. Yeah, so the high now kids will always be streets ahead of parents when it comes to tech. They can put all the restrictions in the world in place, but kids will find ways around them. Even if they don't allow smartphones into their homes, the kids will use their friend's phone. I have sympathy for parents. It's impossible to police. The only solution is to make it illegal for under 16s to have smartphones, just as it is for alcohol. It sends a message to society that smartphones are harmful, taboo, and it takes the peer pressure off parents. Agree. Parents keep alcohol at home, but don't allow their kids to drink it. So in fact, have phones and they shouldn't be an obstacle. They could teach them about the dangers until they reach 16, as can schools. Yeah, I agree with you, Galway girl. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. So please, please, please do support us. Go online near the end of the month now. We've only got 4 days, bills coming in. Please support us. Please, if you can donate, go onto our website, nileboylan.com, nileboylan.com. You can donate a one-off payment, a fiver, whatever, I don't know, 10 or 20, whatever you can afford. If you're a multimillionaire and you love the show and you love what we do on a regular basis by exposing things, you can go on there and you can make a nice big donation. Or if you want to, you can subscribe and you can watch all our previous episodes, which are all online. Somebody sent me an email the other day. They said, Niall, I paid the €2 subscription to watch the show live and it has ads. Now, firstly, you're incorrect. If you're watching the show live, it doesn't have ads. If you're watching any of the shows, by the way, on the website and you've paid the $5.99 on the website to subscribe, there will be no ads. There is nowhere on the website that says if you pay €2 to watch the show live every day on the website that you will not have advertising. And by the way, you don't have advertising. So I don't know where you got that from. The only advertising you'll see is on the audio versions on the website. And that's because they are run through Spotify. There is nowhere anywhere on the website that says when you pay €2, you don't hear ads on the audio versions of the podcasts. That would be lunacy. So we don't put those ads in, by the way, can I point out? Spotify do. So there's nowhere on the website that says, so if you want me, by the way, I'll get the €2. I think I have it in my pocket here, actually. And I'll post it back to you. If you're, you know, if the €2 means that much to you, sorry. I'll send it back to you because you might, oh, you even told me the ad that you heard. If you want me to, I'll send you back the €2. I'll find €2 and I'll send it back to you. The €2, by the way, is that we want to future-proof the website so that if Twitter or Facebook ever goes down, we have a system in place whereby you can watch the show live on the website. And it helps us to run the show live on the website because it costs money with an external server. Anyway, it's complicated. I can't tell you all about it. Anyway, so please do go onto the website and subscribe. €2, you can watch it live, $5.99 per month, and you can look at all the previous episodes with no ads. You can listen to them, but they do have ads if you listen to them just on the audio because that comes through Spotify. There's nothing we can do about that. It's the way the hosting works. Complicated. I know. Please donate or subscribe. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. In the meantime, I now must rush off, find €2 in an envelope and send it back to the person who sent us in the email. Thank you. Talk to you again tomorrow at 12.
The multi-award-winning Nile Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085 100 2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.